Lord, your holy word is something that we take for granted at times. It was centuries that you, God breathed to various authors your word to us. You speak to us in different ways, but in a profound way through the Bible. And may these minutes together, Lord, encourage us to stay in your word more frequently and to realize the love, grace, comfort, and peace that you offer through your holy word. Amen. There are songs and hymns a number of us have learned through the years. Vacation Bible School, Sunday School. Jesus Loves Me. I know yesterday at the service for Madeline, that song was sung. This Little Light of Mine, remember that one? Go Tell It on the Mountain. And how about this one song about the Bible? I might try to sing it a little bit, but please bear with me. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, the B-I-B-L-E, I'll take it along with me. I'll read and pray and then obey. The B-I-B-L-E, now there's more verses. By F-A-I-T-H, I'm S-A-V-E-D. I'll stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, final verse. The B-L-O-O-D, that Jesus shed for me. Cleanse me from sin, I belong to him. The B-L-O-O-D. Now, I didn't know those last couple verses in that too, but the B-I-B-L-E. The good news of God's message, not only through Jesus Christ, but the centuries before that, of his kingdom and purposes. And yes, the sacred book has been given over centuries, but also it's something that people have used to really inspire them to realize God's purpose and plan for their life. And Ruth, when you were singing the ancient words, it reminded me of that too, of you know, how many years, how many Bibles do we have at the house? And too often, sometimes they're collecting dust or they're kind of weights. And but God's word to us, as David read, all scripture is inspired and God breathed. So what about this? You know, how did it happen? Surely over time, surely over centuries, as history unfolded. God's inspiration to those persons responsible to pen those words, and even before that, through the oral traditions. The book we call sacred and holy has a rich history, much more than just history. There is history in it, but beginning with the creation account and through the revelation, we find God's story. God's story of redemption, God's story of grace and love. When you find yourself at the checkout line, and we'll say a drugstore or a grocery store, do you ever notice some of the magazines and things that are around? Oh, come on, you do, don't you? And there's some amazing things. There's some wild stories. It seems like out of this world, and some are out of this world, too. National Enquirer and some others, but of late, I've been really attracted to some of the religious writings that have occurred, and there's been a number of them by Time Life, for example. But this one, and we have some of these samples around the church, the Bible, 50 ways that can change your life. You know, ways of allowing the Bible to help you find solutions to daily problems and issues. You know, it's a colorful publication, but has many great thoughts and words. Let me just give some of those 50 ways. Give the gift of patience. Leave no room for despair. Judge not. Listen hard. Listen well. Keep hope alive. Enjoy God's presence. Guard your thoughts. Show kindness. Be awed every day, and let peace start with you. But listen to the introduction. The influence of the Bible is impossible to ignore. The Bible remains the best-selling book of all time. Although it is an ancient text, it is an amazing, relevant source of wisdom and truth for today. While fad diets, books, and apps come and go, the enduring truths of the Bible have changed millions of lives, and they can change yours too. We've treated the Bible the same way countless people have treated it for thousands of years. We simply have taken it at its word. Throughout history, people have believed it, organized their lives around it, and improved their lives as a result. These same words from the sacred book still whisper to our souls, drawing us towards something bigger than ourselves. The Bible offers powerful pearls of wisdom about daily life, our relationship to our culture, our relationship to God, and our relationship with others. You know, words of wisdom over many years. Karl Barth was a Swiss Reformed theologian who's often regarded as one of the greatest Protestant theologians of the 20th century. Dr. Barth was at the University of Chicago giving a lecture. And after the lecture, there was a question-answer session. A student asked Barth if he could summarize his whole life work in theology in a sentence. And allegedly, he said this, "Yes, I can. In the words of a song I learned at my mother's knee, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." But that involves waiting and prayer as well, to wait and to pray. I thought your message, Cheryl, was really very fitting, you know, not only all the Bibles, but to really actually read it too, and to try to study it. And there's different tools that can help us. But waiting is tough, whether it's waiting in a line for some type of product, waiting for God to answer a prayer. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's awesome and not to be rushed into lightly. But we need to read it. It has teaching properties that help us. I reminded of this effort some time ago when I usually go to the same gas station in Pequannock, and Scott had said Pequannock is really far. That's where one of the games is on Monday. That's where we live. And I like to call people by their first name. And some of the names are easy to remember. As I get older, I don't know about you, but Willie, I think we were talking yesterday with names. They don't come to me as they do before, but especially if it's a unique and different name, someone from a different culture. And in Pompton Plains, there's a gas station I stop in often, and I talk with the person that pumps the gas, and I can never remember his name, you know, and I thought, boy, you know, how many times have I asked him, and how many times I go away, and I repeat it to myself, and then it's gone after a while. And so I thought, what can I do? What can I do to try to remember his name? And I thought, one of the ways is to write it down. So I keep a ledger of, you know, mileage and everything like that, so I thought, I'm going to write down his name. And his name is B-A-H-A-D-U-R, Singh, Bahadur, Bahadur. And but I kept saying that over and over again, but then leaving and forgetting it. And with the Bible, too, sometimes we've read it, and sometimes we think, well, I don't remember it, or there's some depths that we can go to even beyond what we think. Samuel Clemens, remember who he, the pen name of Mark Twain, he said, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts I do understand." You know, there's some things that are very perplexing in the Bible, some things that no one knows, only God himself. But there are many things that are clear on the teachings, and to really apply that to our lives. The song that we sung, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light along my path." You ever kind of go along a dark path? Now we would probably use a flashlight versus a lantern or a torch. You know, where you need to kind of watch for where you're going so you don't fall, or see if there's any objects or any creatures that are kind of right at your feet. And that's what the scripture is too. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." You know, whether we read 8 verses, 60-some verses, but to read it, just to do it, as the Nike commercial says. In the Gospel of John, in that first chapter, we hear that Jesus is the Word of God. And let me just read a few of those verses. You pointed that out, Cheryl. "In the beginning was the Word." And Jesus is the Word that came among us. We think of the written Word, that's vitally important, but Jesus himself was the Word that became flesh. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and there was life for the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all people might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came that to which his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Taking time just to read the Bible, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the middle of the day, at night. It's not only during the worship service, but to really listen. You know, God, what are you saying? And it reminds me to be still and know that I'm God. Too often we want to maybe rush through things, and then we miss out on what God has for us. And the Bible is to teach us, is to correct us. And we all need forgiveness. We all need to have new starts. As I drive in to the church often, I'm reminded of those three crosses. And you know, in the middle of the cross, what's that say? What's the word? Hope. And that's what God provides us, is hope and new life. Next week is Father's Day, and years ago I got a gift of a GPS, and my GPS is not working properly now, and I'm really terrible with directions. Even MapQuest and that, it's hard for me to follow. And so hopefully I've asked for either to kind of fix that one or get another GPS. And you know what it says when you take a wrong turn after you program things? Recalculating. And wouldn't it be something if the person said, oh, come on, what are you doing? You're going the wrong way. And I think that would be a great one. But anyway, it says recalculating. And our lives need recalculating all the way. The Bible is God's word. It's a transforming work. It's not just a dead book that was written centuries ago. Those ancient words that has been written not only for the people back then, but also for us today. The Bible itself points us in direct words. We have the Ten Commandments. We have the Lord's Prayer in the Psalms, the teaching of Jesus, among many other examples. And our effort is to put what we can, to be open, to have open hearts, to have open minds, to really read it. That word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus himself came in that person of God in human form to teach us, to show us God's way, to show us that peace, to show us that hope that's on the cross, that even amidst times of death, there's new life through God. And much was to happen in Jesus, as we know, in his life. In the upper room on that fateful night before his betrayal, you know, where he's telling his disciples that God has a place for you, that God's peace is there for you. Jesus himself said that he is the truth and sets us free, to be free, to live a fuller life, not to be bound up by regrets, failures, or sins, but to be forgiven and set free, not to bind us up, but to lessen our lives so they can be fuller. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Words from our Lord. The truth will set you and me and others free. God's love, his grace, hope, and healing found in the sacred book that we know as the Bible. There are various self-help books. Are you familiar with those on the racks? They're written, they have self-help characters, and one is on Scripture's way to live each day. And the author, Juliette Garrichet, writes, "When we have important choices before us, it is sometimes difficult to discern God's will in the matter." I don't know about you, it is. I can read this book, and sometimes I want a blueprint ahead, but it's really like, as the psalmist says, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. Whether choosing a college, an employer, or a spouse, or other decisions, God gives us a great deal of choice and a great deal of guidance. The Bible teaches us how to prioritize our life through parables, through commandments, proverbs, examples from Christ's life. The Bible advises, he who keeps the commandments keeps his life. God does not force a choice upon us, but has given us the free gift of his will and our will. It is up to each of us to read the Bible, to know the Word of God, and to find a setting where we are encouraged to become all that God designed us individually and uniquely to be. And then she says, my intent in writing this book was to highlight some of God's teachings that you may find it easier to choose a rewarding and God-honoring life that gives you peace. Isn't that what we want? We want that peace. We want that hope. We want that sense of God being with us. So God speaks not only through the scripture, God speaks through people, God speaks through situations, but most profoundly in the person of Jesus. But I encourage you, I think that's a great challenge. Open up the Bible, start with the Gospel of John. You know, there are various tools, you know, to find out those gems, those treasures that are there of God's Word, that you may know his will and purpose in greater and greater ways. Let us pray. God, as the psalmist has declared, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. And God, we all need that. Sometimes things are clear. Sometimes we sense your spirit guiding and directing us. And sometimes the way seems blocked. The road seems not traversable. We feel that we're alone. But Lord, help us to read more, to study, to meditate, to pray, to wait upon you and your word in our lives. And indeed, may your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light for our path. In Jesus' name, amen.